Welcome to the A Keen Mind podcast. My name is Jude Johnson, and I'm a licensed therapist and mindfulness meditation teacher. Most people struggle with stress and feel overwhelmed when they can't keep up with life's demands. I teach mindfulness because it helps people find more joy and peace in life. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about five ways that mindfulness can make your relationships happier. Let's go ahead and jump in with number one, which is that mindfulness makes us more attentive to those around us. It can actually improve our focus and concentration. I'm sure we've all been in a situation where we were really frustrated while we were trying to talk to someone that was sitting there checking their email or scrolling through social media, maybe responding to texts, when we really want their attention. Being attentive and listening to other people makes them feel valuable, makes them feel important, like they really matter. And I know that for myself, when I'm talking to somebody and they're scrolling or they're texting or they're doing something else entirely, it really makes me feel like what I'm saying doesn't really matter and that I'm their second choice. And so if we can bring mindfulness into our attentiveness to others, this really can improve our relationships. I love the way Mark Nepo puts it. He says, "Lean in softly with a willingness to be changed by what you hear." Now, that doesn't mean that we have to agree with what the other person is saying. We don't even have to like what they're saying. But if we have a willingness to listen, maybe drop whatever our agenda may be or drop what we think we need to say, and really listen, it can change so much. How often are you really thinking of what you want to say in response to the other person rather than just listening? I know I do this sometimes too. And it's so helpful to drop the agenda and really listen. It can make us feel more connected and really improve our communication with other people, thus enhancing our relationships. The next one is that mindfulness decreases our emotional reactivity. Studies have shown that in just 8 weeks of practicing mindfulness, that the brain can change so that we don't get hijacked so easily. So instead of going into a fight-flight mode and shutting down or attacking the other person, we can find a more balanced approach, perhaps even being curious about the perceptions of other people. That way we won't take things so personally. Research has actually shown that through regular mindfulness meditation practice, we can decrease the size of our amygdala. Now, your amygdala is this little almond-shaped part of the brain that is really the alarm center for threats. So if you detect a threat, your amygdala is going to send a message to your body that you either need to fight or that you need to run away. And we can actually have that reaction in our relationships with other people. They may say something that we get reactive to, and all of a sudden we're ready to fight or we're ready to shut down. And this happens so frequently to us that finding a way to be mindful and balanced can allow us to let go of getting hijacked so that we can really be present and listening to actually what's happening rather than making up a story about what happened or not even being able to figure out a solution to the problem because we're hijacked. And I have seen people get hijacked so frequently in my career as a counselor. In fact, for 8.5 years, I did domestic violence treatment for offenders. And when they would come in, typically I would say 95% of them would say, "It wasn't my fault, I didn't do anything." But when we would really dig into what was going on in their relationships, the problem was is they were being emotionally reactive. Perhaps, let's just give an example here that I saw frequently. Their partner wanted to go out with their friends. And so when they made these plans, the offender would get frustrated and feel insecure and feel like that their partner might actually be cheating on them. So instead of being vulnerable and saying, "Gosh, I'm really concerned about you going out because I love you so much and I'm worried that somebody else is going to realize how great you are and you're going to realize that you don't want to be with me and that's going to make me sad and I'm scared. But instead of saying, you know, I'm really scared and I'm sad about the possibility of not being with you any longer, they say, how long are you going to be gone? When are you coming back? Then they start texting once their girlfriend or their wife leaves, and they're just hounding them the whole time, trying to control the situation because they're in a fight-flight mode. They feel like that what is valuable to them is being taken away, and they can't control it, so they're getting reactive. They're hijacked in this moment. And many of the men that I worked with, I taught them how to practice mindfulness so they wouldn't get hijacked so easily. It didn't mean that some of the initial hot emotions that would come up weren't there any longer, but it gave them a sense of being able to pause before they reacted so they could slow down a little bit and maybe dig a little deeper and be honest about what they were feeling. Which kind of leads me into the next one, is that mindfulness really improves our ability to regulate our emotions. Because studies show that the prefrontal cortex is strengthened and the connection to the amygdala improves as well. So from the prefrontal cortex connecting to the amygdala, that connection is improved. And your prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that's able to say, hold on a second, maybe I could see this in a different way. Maybe I could take on a different perception rather than just acting on how I feel in the moment. It gives us the ability to say, oh, things are okay. Even if there is some conflict right now, I can kind of work through this rather than going into a state of fight flight. So even if the emotions are high, I can use mindfulness to be present, to let go of some of the judgment, to try to be more objective in the moment, thus allowing me to regulate my emotions more easily. The next way that mindfulness can improve our relationships is that it increases our ability to be self-aware. So that when we're more aware of when we're acting in unhealthy ways, then we can redirect our attention back to what our core values are. And this is really important because we all act opposite to what we value sometimes. Sometimes we lose our temper and say things that we don't mean, or maybe we raise our voice or we become intimidating or angry with somebody else because we're scared or we're hurt. And instead of being able to say those things, we get into that fight flight mode and we really just kind of flip our lid and say and do things that we later regret because we're in a survival mode of reacting. But if we can become more self-aware that we're caught in that place, that's where change can happen. As Tara Brach would say, that's where you can make the U-turn. That's where you can recognize, oh, look, I'm trapped. Let me acknowledge that I'm trapped in these emotions right now, and maybe acknowledge that to myself and even the other person. It might help at this point to maybe take a time out to say, hey, you know what? I realize that things are not going in the right direction right now. I'm just going to take a time out, process how I'm feeling, and come back. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Okay. And I would often teach this to the guys in the DV classes, but it's really applicable to anyone in a situation. Sometimes we're not seeing things so clearly in the moment that we need a time to reflect on what is it that I am feeling? What is it that I am thinking? And how can I respond differently to this situation so that I can make a U-turn, so that I can enhance my relationships? Because, you know, everyone's different in how they process things. But for me personally, I have to process. Sometimes I don't know why in that moment I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and I need to reflect a little bit. I need to get my thoughts together so that I can come back in a state of mindfulness and be more attentive to how I'm feeling, how I'm thinking, so I can solve the issue that's going on in a rational and a kind way. Now, the next way is that mindfulness can increase our ability to have empathy for other people, which this just means we know that it's possible to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, to know what it's like to be them in that moment. I mean, of course, not completely, but we all have this human quality of empathy, to be able to take somebody else's perspective and really understand what's going on with their emotions in that moment. And that can really lead to us acting in a way of having compassion. So compassion is seeing that there is hurt or difficulty going on with somebody else. And not only do I feel that, but compassion drives me towards doing something to reduce their pain or their suffering. And maybe all we really need to do is listen and be attentive so that we can reconnect, so we can improve our relationships. There's a lot of evidence out there for the benefits behind mindfulness and meditation. And as it relates to relationships, I wouldn't say that there is scientific proof that mindfulness makes relationships happier. But the research has found that mindfulness is correlated with positive relationships. And in my own experience of practicing mindfulness and relationships, I know that when I'm making an effort to be more attentive, that the relationship improves. When I can, you know, regulate my emotional reactivity and not get into a fight-flight mode, that the conversation goes much better. When I can regulate my emotions and not be too reactive, things improve. When I'm aware of how I'm coming off towards others that might be rude or inconsiderate, then I can make that U-turn. If I can have empathy in my relationships with other people, they're going to respond to that. They're going to connect to that. And that's really what we want out of life, is we want to be able to connect to others in meaningful ways. We want to be understood by others. We want to be known by others, because that's what intimacy is really all about. And that's what other people want from us. They want to be understood. They want to be heard. They want to be listened to. So if we can be more conscious and mindful in our relationships, then we're going to be happier, because relationships are a key component to happiness. 75-year-long study done by Harvard showed that meaningful relationships are the number one factor associated with happiness. Now, I don't think that another person can make another person happy. I think back to that movie with Tom Cruise where he says, "You complete me," and everybody thought that that was so awesome. And, you know, what a bunch of crap. Like, of course, a relationship does not complete you. A relationship can be enriching. It can be very healthy to our well-being. We can even live longer because we have positive relationships, but they are not going to make you happy. Just like anything that you may want in this life that you think is going to make you happy, as soon as you get that thing, you realize that you're still the same person, and that it doesn't really make you happy. Positive relationships can enrich our lives. And if we're mindful of our relationships, then that's going to make a huge difference in our happiness. So I would just encourage you to test this out. Notice what it's like to really listen to others and to drop your agenda, to be curious, to really listen. And, you know, many people might be thinking, but what if the other person doesn't do that back? What if they don't really listen to me? Well, maybe you need to address that with them. Maybe you need to let them know how it feels that they're not really listening to you. But at first, I would encourage you not to do that. Just to practice mindfulness for yourself and really listen to others. Maybe it's a good idea to reevaluate some of your relationships and set boundaries and maybe spend less time with people who are not nourishing to you or not supportive of you. It could be very difficult when we're in a relationship where we're trying exponentially harder than the other person. Feels like you're giving, 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 and they're always taking and taking and taking. If that's the case and you address this with the person and their behavior stays the same, then you may want to reconsider how much time you're going to invest in that relationship. Now, I'll say this, it's a personal decision that everybody makes, and I'm not here to judge whether you stay in a relationship like that or whether or not you leave. But I think the truth is that if you're cultivating a sense of kindness and compassion to yourself, eventually you won't put up with that any longer because you'll love and care enough about yourself that you'll set that boundary. But again, I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the answers to this stuff. So it's like we have to find the answers for ourselves. And sometimes you might need to seek out professional support from a counselor. You might need to go and talk to somebody about this so you can figure out how to balance relationships. My old supervisor, Ellen Ponton, who taught me how to do domestic violence treatment, she always said, the hardest thing you'll ever do is manage an intimate relationship because that's where we really get triggered, right? When somebody is not showing up for us the way we would like and we feel disappointed or we feel hurt. We want different things in our relationship, but maybe sometimes we just don't know how to ask for it or we can't quite come up with the words to articulate what we're feeling. But mindfulness can help us be more introspective so that we can sense and feel really what's going on and we can start to speak from our heart and start to become more aligned with what we value most. So I hope you guys find this helpful in thinking about how you might be able to use mindfulness to enhance your relationships and to have happier relationships. And I just want to thank you for listening. You know, I see more and more listeners come every week, which motivates me to do these shows. And I need your help. I need you to go on and subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying this and give me a rating because that's going to help more people find the show. And I'd also love to hear from you. If you have a question, an idea for a topic that you'd like to have me cover on the show, reach out to me. Jude@akeenmind.com, and I would be happy to respond and do what I can to answer your question or have the topic on the show. Let's segue now to a guided meditation. So I'd like to invite you to begin by just taking a position that is comfortable for you, yet alert and awake. You may wish to allow the eyes to close, or if you leave them open, just place your gaze in one direction. And just begin by noticing your body. Notice where it's connected to the surface beneath you. Scan through the body, noticing what you can, being curious to what you can sense, what you can feel, perhaps warmth, coolness, tingling, even non-feeling. See if you can allow the body to be just as it is. Allowing the senses to be awake. Seeing if it's possible to allow the body to soften. To imagine for a moment that the body is a block of ice, slowly melting to water, becoming more flexible and fluid. And imagine the body now is going from water to gas, becoming even lighter. And if there are any areas in the body that remain tight or tense, just let this tension float in your awareness. There's nothing to do about it. During this meditation, you don't have to make anything special happen. You're not trying to get anywhere. You're just invited to be just as you are. Allowing this body and mind to be. You're invited now to shift attention to the breath. Just sense and feel the breath wherever you can detect it most easily. The nostrils, the back of the throat, the chest, the belly. Just listen to and follow this breath. seeing if you can be aware of the full in-breath and the full out-breath as you're present. Everything I say in the meditation is a suggestion, nothing that you have to do. With that in mind, I want to invite you on the next in-breath to breathe deeply, filling the chest and lungs. And as you breathe out, allow the breath to exit slowly. You're invited to do this a couple of more times, taking a deep in-breath, filling the chest and lungs, perhaps even holding the breath for a moment, and then releasing the breath very slowly, gently, watching the body let go. One more time, breathing deeply, collecting the attention, feeling the aliveness in the body, letting go of the breath softly, gently, letting go, letting be. And when you're ready, resuming a natural rate and rhythm to the breath, breathing as you normally do, just watching the breath flow in and out. You're invited now to bring to mind what matters to you, what's really important. Perhaps it's to feel happy, peaceful, safe, loved, free. Perhaps nothing comes to mind. Nothing comes to mind, no need to judge, it'll emerge in its own timing. But if something is here, you're invited to whisper it to yourself in your mind. May I be, may I feel, fill in the blank or blanks that make sense to you. Happy, peaceful, safe, loved, free. And then gently letting go of these intentions and bringing awareness right back to the breath, just feeling it flow in and out. Now you're invited to bring to mind a time there was a recent conflict. Not anything too serious or traumatic, but one where you didn't feel comfortable. And just imagine this time. See if you can notice and recognize how your body was feeling, how your mind was feeling in that moment. Were the thoughts racing quickly? Was the body tense? Just observe for a moment. See if you can allow whatever feelings and sensations that were present during this time to be as much as they wish or want, not trying to push them away or control them. What were you feeling? Perhaps a sense of being let down, angry, frustrated. Maybe you felt like you weren't measuring up, that you were misunderstood. See if you can notice where you experience these emotions in the body. Emotions are often felt in the throat, the chest, the belly, but they could be felt anywhere throughout the body. Just be curious and notice, if you can, what you feel, what you sense, allowing the body to be as it is. Softening if you can. You're invited to stay with this conflict for a moment, imagining how you felt, perhaps even sensing how the other person was feeling. And without trying to fix anything or make anything different, see if you can just allow the thoughts and feelings to be as they are. And to maybe ask yourself, what those emotions needed from you. Perhaps patience, understanding, kindness. Perhaps consider what you wanted the other person to know. What was important? And you're invited to bring your awareness just to the breath, letting go of this situation, letting it be as it is, and just breathing. Watch the body receive the breath, fill with aliveness. And as you breathe out, see if you can get a sense of letting go, letting be. Just breathing. Notice the soft touch of the breath. See if you can allow the breath to be soothing, to pull you right into this present moment. Just the breath. Now you're invited to shift awareness away from the breath and bring attention to the oval of the face, the skin of the face. See if you can allow it to be soft, at ease. Perhaps unhinging the jaw, relaxing the muscles here in the jaw if you're able without forcing. Noticing the tongue and allowing it to relax all the way to its base. Letting be. Breath by breath, you're invited to draw attention down into the space of the shoulders. See if they'll drop a bit away from the ears and the neck, but without forcing. Letting be. Breath by breath, you're invited to draw attention all the way down into the hands. See if you can sense and feel the hands from the inside out. As you're curious to what you can sense, what you can feel, allowing them to be open, receptive, just as they are. Letting be. And then expanding awareness to include this body as a whole, from the top of the head all the way down to the bottoms of the feet. Noticing. Noticing this body breathing. Seeing if you can allow this moment to be just as it is. Then allowing the awareness to come back just to the breath one more time, feeling it flow in and out. We'll take a few more breaths from this space right here. Now I'll share a quote by Rumi. He writes, "Raise your words, not your voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder." You're invited now to gently bring your awareness back to the space around you, back to the room around you. And I want to let you know that anger is a normal emotion. I'm not trying to tell you that you shouldn't feel angry, because it's an important emotion. And I want to share with you what Rachel Raymond says about this. She was a physician that says that cancer studies suggest that many who recover become angry first. And here's her quote. "Anger is just a demand for change, a passionate wish for things to be different. It can be a way to reestablish important boundaries and a certain personal integrity in the face of a body and a life-altering disease. As it was for me, it may be the first expression of the will to live. Anger becomes a problem for people only when they become wedded to it as a way of life." So I encourage you to use mindfulness to allow yourself to explore these different emotions that you may be feeling. I realize that this guided meditation was maybe a little different one than you're used to. We reflected on a challenge, a difficulty, and I kind of guided a way for us to use mindfulness with some of these difficult thoughts and feelings. So I hope you found this helpful. I'd love to hear what you thought about it. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.